Welcome to Jaguars Thursday. Former Jaguars Jeff Loggeman and Tony Baselli bring you expert insight and analysis of your Jacksonville Jaguars. Now to get things started, here's the host of Jaguars Thursday, J.P. Shadrick.
Welcome in, Jaguars Thursday. J.P. Shadrick, Jeff Loggeman, Tony Baselli. Our first off-season Jaguars Thursday for 2018. 6 o'clock start, 7 o'clock finish. Plenty to get to, Super Bowl recap. Some business in Philly today they attended to in a parade. Some business in the league today, quarterback getting paid. We'll go through all that coming up. And we might talk about the quarterback situation here. I'm sure it'll be a topic the next month or so around Jacksonville. What's up, guys?
What quarterback situation here?
Blake Bortles.
Why is it a situation?
Maybe it's not a situation.
Something happened that I don't know about?
It's the talk of the town.
But
what's
going to
happen with Blake?
It was the talk of the town on Radio Row too.
What's going to happen? So we'll get to that coming up, and we'll go around the National Football League as well.
Yeah, but I mean, here's the thing.
Jeff's not going to let it go.
That's not. I mean, it's not an issue. I mean, he's under contract.
Right.
Okay. So why is it an issue?
He's not under contract. I mean, technically, there's no guarantees. I'm not going to get into my opinion. Do we want to go this path?
At some point,
he's under contract.
Yes. Do we want to go down this path?
We've got a couple of weeks before it actually has to go down.
But he's not under contract. They can walk away from the deal.
Right.
And not owe him $1.
But he's under contract.
But, Jeff, you know as well as I do, the first day of the league year, it's $19 million guaranteed. That's why it's a story. That's why it's a question, because they can let him go before then. I'm not saying that's what I would do. I mean, we can get into how I look at it. I mean, we can talk about it. But, JP, I always get in trouble for trying to drive the ship.
I've
so
got that
drive the ship however you want.
We can hold our thoughts on that for the next segment, because there's a lot to – we can go down that path.
Did I mess up your plan?
You did. I enjoy it, by the way. I enjoy it. Because usually it's me messing it up. I'm very happy that you
get angry at the fat guy over here. So yeah. We'll get back to that. Once we go down that path, it's hard to come back up that path. That's the issue.
Not always.
Well, you're done.
Today,
the Eagles had their celebration parade through Philadelphia. It ended on the steps of the Art Museum. What a scene it was. Millions of people in downtown Philly.
I picked them, by the way. So did you.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
Nice job.
So that means I ended up getting last place?
Yeah. Dead last. -52 points.
Me and JP won.
That's right. Perfect. Victory.
Perfect. Congratulations, guys.
And Joe is happy.
A cool scene, though, to watch that today on NFL Network. But the frustrating part is how close it could have been to happening here.
You got to bring that up again.
I just brought it up. It's frustrating.
So the interesting thing for me being there all week and doing Radio Row, and feels like hundreds. It's probably 50 interviews with all the different things.
Still a lot.
And last year when I was there on Radio Row all week, the conversation was about the game, because covering the game, and about the Hall of Fame. Not one person asked me about the Jaguars.
Well, when you win 3 games, why? Why even have that conversation?
This year, every interview led off with the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Mm-hmm.
About how the team overall, Blake Bortles was always in that conversation. Then it went to the Super Bowl and Hall of Fame, which was fun for me, on a national stage, because it hasn't been like that for a long time.
Been a long time.
And there were comments by respected national guys off the air, just conversations, that said, you guys blew it. You guys were the best team. By the way, the best team in the NFL at the end. Which did not help me feel any better.
Sure.
But I sat there watching the game in Philadelphia. They won it. They did it. But I'm telling you right now, I hate going back too far, but if we'd have been as aggressive throughout the 60 minutes as Philadelphia was, we would have won that game. Forget about the official calls. We don't need to go back into that.
Well, I think you would have had a better chance. No, I don't know if you would have won.
No, you do. I think you do. And I think they beat Philadelphia as well. Because of the Jaguars' defense.
Well, it's easy to kind of say
no, it's
that
easy.
That's what we're supposed to say.
But my point is, that's how frustrating it is, and it's so hard to get there. But it was
because on the flip side of that, okay, let's say that you decided to be aggressive, because what you're talking about is some of the aggressive lack of aggressiveness with the calls
right
in the game.
Would you agree, by the way, right?
Well, no, I mean, I agree now because hindsight tells you that it didn't work, so you would want to do something different this time. But, I mean, if you do something different, here, let's throw this out there, okay? 55 seconds left, you decide to go for it. You run first play and it gains 10 yards. Second down, you say, hey, we feel good about it. We're going to go for it. You know, throw ball down the field and – it's not a bad throw, but it's tipped up into the air by Marquise Lee and ends
up
in the
Patriots. But you can't play that way. But I mean, when you're playing the Patriots, that's my point. You can't play that way, Jeff.
No, I know, but what I'm saying is that
I know hindsight's 20/20 always. But I'm saying I said it during the game. I would have been more aggressive at the 55 seconds.
But what I'm saying is the same thing that you're saying is that if they had stayed aggressive, they would have won. Well,
I think my point is you're right.
Just to be kind of the counterpunch is that, you know. It could have gone wrong, too.
When I say – I'm not even talking about the last 55 seconds. I'm talking about where was Corey Grant in the second half after?
No, totally agree with you.
Easy completions, easy throws, stuff like that.
Totally agree with you on that one.
And I don't even want to kill Nathaniel Hackett because I think he did an amazing job this year. I thought one of the untold stories this year where it didn't get covered enough is how well Nathaniel Hackett did with this offense.
No doubt.
I mean, I thought he was outstanding.
Really good.
I thought both coordinators, by the way, were outstanding all year. I mean, outstanding. So I'm not killing Nathaniel Hackett now because hindsight, he's right. Hindsight's 20/20, and if the officials don't blow the whistle early, 27-10, we're not talking about it because they're in the Super Bowl. And so you always can go back. What made me think of it, because it was actually my key of the game right before kickoff for the Philadelphia Eagles, was Doug Peterson has to come out aggressive and stay aggressive for 60 minutes.
He did.
And he did. I just feel like when you're playing Tom Brady, you have to have that mentality. I think we saw it in the AFC Championship game. You saw it against the Atlanta Falcons. And when I say I think we win, when I say we would have won the game, I think we would have game. I think it's the mentality when you play Tom Brady. And that's what I was so impressed with, because Doug Peterson did it with a backup quarterback, by the way. Mm-hmm. It was a backup.
Which is impressive. And I mean, you give a lot of credit to Foles.
No, Nick Foles was great. I mean, wow. But I start with that offensive staff and Doug Peterson saying, we are going to come out and we're going to pedal to the metal for 60 minutes. And they made some gutsy calls and trick plays and – I mean,
2 4th-and-1 calls, very aggressive.
They had to do it because the Patriots weren't going to stop scoring.
No,
and they took the lead, in fact. So,
and you know, I'm sure if Nathaniel Hackett was sitting here and said, yeah, hindsight 20/20, maybe I'd do something different. But also look at the flow of the game. New England couldn't move it at all outside of one drive assisted by penalties until the fourth quarter. So I also understand what Doug and Nathaniel were thinking, game flow.
Good defense.
Is playing great.
You
so
know.
There's no.
And so yeah, totally good.
I don't want to come across as critical to Hackett at all because I thought he was awesome this year.
I think a lot of the aggressiveness or lack of aggressiveness doesn't really fall on the coordinator. I mean, that's a head coach's call. You know,
it might be. It might have been Doug telling the thing, Hackett, dial it in and let's play it.
That's where it comes from.
Yeah, and so. And even with Doug, I understand
it should come from that.
Right.
I mean, head coach, I mean, he's the one that gives the directives. Yeah. I mean, he's not maybe calling the play specifically, but I mean, as far as, hey.
Style, you know, what you want to do.
Yeah, let's just be safe here. You know, we're backed up. Let's not turn the ball over.
Don't forget that Doug Peterson is the head coach and the play caller.
Yeah, it's okay to punt, that kind of thing, you know. So.
But I just thought, and I hate even saying it, but watching the game, I thought of us as a team because I'm thinking, man.
I totally did, too. And you were probably just like me. The aggressiveness that they played with, and then you're having flashbacks to the AFC title game, and you're going, man, if the Jaguars had just stayed aggressive like this, maybe they would have won.
And I hate saying it because I don't want to be overly critical of Doug and Nathaniel Hackett because I thought they did a great job all year. But that's what you do after the game. When it doesn't work out, you go back and you pick it apart.
It's always like
hindsight's
that.
20/20. So, but it was
unbelievable
game.
Great game.
And I had one person tell me there that was, I'm not going to say who because he said it in private. A national, big national guy said, listen, you guys blew it. You were the best team. And then I was shocked that he said it too. Which I only say that because it was fun for me being around the national media for the last doing Thursday night games and being around it. All I've heard is cracks and jokes about us as a franchise. So being a part of that, I thought was. It was a lot of fun selfishly, it was a lot of fun.
Cool scene, Minnesota.
Was it cold, Tony?
It was beyond cold. It was.
But heard nothing but good things about the city hosting the event.
Here's the thing. Minnesota, and I said this when I got there, I texted my buddy who's from Minnesota. I said, it is so damn cold here, but the people are so damn nice.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the, and there's a saying, Minnesota nice. They're the nicest from the time I got into the airport to everything I did, how like genuinely nice people are there is remarkable. Maybe you have to be because you're so cold the whole time, but it is cold. It's a great city, but it's not a Super Bowl city.
Well, it has been twice now.
But it's not a Super Bowl city. And I don't say that to be critical of Minnesota. They did a great job. But you're limited to what you can do because it's so
because
cold.
Just because of the weather.
It's so cold. Like there's not a lot of stuff going on outside.
If the Super Bowl were held in July, Minneapolis is a Super Bowl city.
Because it's a great city.
Because it is a great city. But, I mean, we're talking the Super Bowl is in February.
Like they're used to embracing the cold. Not everybody visiting is used to embracing the cold.
On Saturday, walking around before the announcement, so I was walking outside, it's like snowing and cold, and you're walking around. And so you don't get that same NFL experience. I mean, it was packed downtown, don't get me wrong.
Oh, you didn't do the zip line across the Mississippi River?
No.
Come on.
But, so,
what?
There was a zip line across the Mississippi River.
Yeah,
it's part of the thing.
Downtown, yeah. So one of the things that
– I thought that'd be right on your list.
No.
So like in the cold, people were doing that?
Oh, it was freezing and people were doing it. I have no idea how.
No.
I'll say this. The second day we were there, and another thing, it was – like Houston was a great Super Bowl city because everything was centrally located. Everything was downtown. Media row, parties.
See, I heard the opposite. I heard that Houston was so spread out that that kind of turned a lot of people off.
No, the game was, but everything else was literally downtown.
Okay.
Every event,
because Houston kind of has two different downtowns.
Right, but it was
so.
The main downtown.
Okay.
We kept everything there. Now, if you stay at the Galleria, I could see it being a pain. But once you got there, everything was there. In Minnesota, the media center and a lot of the fan experience was down at the Mall of America. The game and NFL people are downtown. And so the first 3 days I was out in the Mall of America. The last 3 days or 4 days I was downtown because of the Hall of Fame stuff.
How far away is Crow Flyers Mall of America downtown?
20 minutes, 15, 20 minutes, no traffic. But traffic.
Well, that's a pretty good poke then.
Yeah, traffic getting in, it could take 45 minutes because it was so crowded downtown. Wow. And so that was
It was that far apart. I mean, I didn't know that.
Now, the Mall of America, the media row was tiny this year because they put it in the mall, so it was limited space. But it was a cool experience. I mean, Pete was packed, people everywhere, so that was fun.
What about Shake Shack? Did you go
I went to Shake Shack.
There was a Shake Shack?
Right there, right next to me.
Oh, man.
And so the one thing was...
By the way, that's for people who are like, what is that? It's a milkshake place.
And great burgers. Forget the milkshakes.
Fantastic.
Forget the milkshakes are great, but there's a lot of great milkshakes. The burger is outstanding.
We had...
like over the top. I had it twice.
Yeah, love milkshakes.
But the second day, we had drivers drop with Western One right at the door. But for one day, I got stuck with someone else who down the pass. So it was 150 yard walk from the parking spot to the front of the Mall of America.
Not fun.
And I was walking. And I didn't have a hat on or gloves. I'm thinking, it's only 150 yards.
Frostbite on the ears.
Seriously,
walk.
Halfway there, I almost started sprinting because my ears hurt so bad. I mean, it was that cold. I mean, it was like minus 14 windshield the day of the Super Bowl.
Cold. Cold.
But nice people. Great people. Beautiful downtown. And it was actually really pretty when it snowed. It was just a cool – I'm used to it growing up. I haven't been there a long time. It was just pretty. But as far as Super Bowl cities where there's events outside and you want to be out there and you're walking around, it's just – it's more difficult. Everything has to be inside.
The next three are close. Atlanta, South Florida, and Tampa. The next three Super Bowl.
And then L.A. after that.
Yeah, and see, I think it should be back in Jerry's World. I mean, that stadium.
But that's another great. That's another one that's so
spread
out.
They had an ice storm there 1 year.
I'm telling you, the best.
I'm not talking about
Super Bowl.
I'm not talking about the weather. I'm just talking about the
stadium.
Stadium-wise,
stadium
itself is unbelievable.
Stadium, Jeff. That's a great stadium.
We haven't been there yet.
Oh, it is. I've been there twice now. Once for Thursday night and then Super Bowl. It is a great, beautiful. I mean, what a great place to play football.
Compared to Jerry's World,
it's not like that. But it's like the ceiling's glass. So it was that sunny day.
That's cool.
It looked like. You were inside. It was like 75 degrees. Like I said, it was beautiful because the sun comes through. But like to me, like Super Bowl cities, like I would have it in New Orleans every year.
Yeah,
because it's
the big
downtown.
City. Houston, New Orleans, Miami.
You can walk everywhere.
Atlanta would be in
Atlanta
rotation.
Would be good because
it's
all downtown, and you don't ever have to get in your car.
L.A. when the new stadium.
Well, L.A. will be
done.
Interesting because L.A. is so spread out and traffic is hell, and it'll be interesting to see where they host it. If it's downtown at L.A. Live. Or will enough be done? Because, it's a 300-acre facility.
Yeah, it's in like a whole complex.
Yeah, it will be done, all the hotels and stuff, to have enough stuff down there. But that's a hike traffic-wise when you're in L.A. So it's just – but great – the people of Minnesota, over the top good. Great city. Is it my favorite Super Bowl city I've ever been to? No. But they did a good job. They were great hosts.
We'll come back, and we will go through the options at the quarterback position. I know Logs was excited to get to that, so he started the show with it. We're going to come back, and
I have some very strong opinions, and I shared them on Radio Row, and they weren't always the most popular.
Well, we'll rehash that when we return. Check out Jack Hanania's Audi Jacksonville on Blanding. You can lease a beautiful new A3 from just $229 a month. Head over today for details. We're off and running. It's Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday continues right now.
We're back, JP Chadwick, Jeff Lagerman, Tony Vaselli, Jaguars Thursday. The first time in the offseason at 6 o'clock. We'll go until 7 each and every Thursday. Glad you're with us. Jaguars.com, the Jags app, Jags Social as well tonight. The number one topic, you go out in town, you go out to restaurant, you go to the store, you go to the bar, wherever you go, is the quarterback. If you want to talk about the quarterback situation for the Jags. And Logs, I know you want to talk about it too, because you started the show.
Hold on. Make sure what they're talking about is, what do you do with Blake Bortles?
Right.
Do you bring him back, or do you and guarantee the $19 million, or do you let him go and get into the Kirk Cousins sweepstakes? That's the question.
That's the big question.
Let's clarify. That's the questions that everyone asks.
That's right.
So go ahead, Jeff.
Can he try to trade for Jimmy Garoppolo too? Is that an option?
No.
I mean, you might as well throw it out there.
Try all you want.
They paid him $137 million. That's over.
Yeah, by the way, JP, you wrote down some options on your little menu sheet here.
Yeah.
I'll take option two.
Okay. Option Bortles plus draft a guy.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's what's going to happen. I mean, look, in a perfect world, you'd like to find beyond 1 year as far as for Blake Bortles. You'd like to find a multi-year deal that makes everybody happy. Okay. And then you draft a guy. And so then you feel good about it because, one, you've got a guy who, look, he made a big improvement last year. But you need to continue to see more improvement out of him. And you draft a guy and continue to draft guys and try to find guys that can become franchise-type quarterbacks. I'm not criticizing Blake by saying that he's not. I'm just saying right now he's not there yet. When I say franchise guy, I'm talking the Aaron Rodgers, and Tom Brady is obviously the greatest of all time. It's not like he's common occurrence. But, I mean, you're talking about finding an Aaron Rodgers type, Peyton Manning type, a guy that's going to be your quarterback for 15 years and can win games for you with the team on his shoulders. And if Blake can become that guy, great. And maybe, the surgical procedure that he had will help him become a better passer next year. But you got to find some stability at that position and sign him to a multi-year deal. And continuing to look for another guy, I think you solve a lot of things. And you feel good about it. I mean, he's your guy. You drafted him. Keep going forward with him. I don't think you participate in the Kirk Cousins sweepstakes at all.
At all. You don't even test the water in the two-day negotiating.
No. He's not worth $30 million. I mean, that's what he's going to get.
He's probably going to get 27.
He's going to get 20. He's going to get 27, 28.
Between 90 and 100.
$30 million, whatever. Yeah. And he's going to be right up there with what Garoppolo got. And in my mind,
let me ask you a question.
He's not worth that.
Okay, so let me ask you a question. Because I think you're always trying to become a better team. You better be striving to be better every year.
All the time.
Or otherwise you're in trouble. You can't say, we made the AFC title game, so we got the same crew, we'll come back and we'll get – you can't. You got to be better, continue to be better. And you're always trying to upgrade every position, including quarterback, in my opinion. So with that said, let me ask you this. Does Kirk Cousins give you a better chance to win than Blake Bortles as a team?
Yes. He's a better passer.
I didn't ask you that. I said, does Kirk Cousins give you a better opportunity to win as a team?
I think he would, yeah.
See, I don't.
You don't?
No, that's why I wouldn't go after him. If I thought
why?
I will tell you in a second. If I truly thought, because I agree with you, I would bring Blake Bortles back and I would draft a guy, but not only draft a guy, I'd draft a guy in the first round. I'd use my first pick to draft a quarterback. If the value, I'm not going to reach. You know what I mean? But
it'll take a guy just to take a guy.
No, you know what I mean, though. But if you're sitting there and.
And Aaron Rodgers, which.
Or whoever, but like you're sitting at the 29th.
Like
down
there.
Right?
Yeah,
like,
you take
let's say Baker Mayfield. I don't even know where. I haven't even started on the draft, so I have no idea where any of these guys are rated and don't care right now, frankly. But let's say Baker Mayfield's sitting there at the 29th pick and you have him rated as a first round quarterback.
Take him.
You take him.
Yeah.
That's my opinion. The reason I don't think Kirk Cousins makes you better and why I wouldn't do it, because if you go pay Kirk Cousins $27, $28, $29 million, it changes your team because it changes your cap and you have to let guys go. And you're going to have to change that defense. You're going to let guys go on that defense.
I don't think you'd have to change the cap.
I do. And it's going to limit.
You got enough room.
It's going to limit what you can sign offensively. From a receiver, tight end.
You need a receiver, you need a tight end.
And offensive line position.
Yeah.
I mean, it's going to limit what you can do. Sure. It just does. And it might not limit you just next year, but it's going to limit you in the years to come how you build this football team.
Without a doubt, you would be limited because you have obviously not as much money to play with.
That's
because
right.
You would be
right.
Spending that on Kirk Cousins. But you would not have to subtract from your roster.
Yes, you would. You're not paying. I do not believe, and I don't have the cap in front of me, you cannot pay Kirk Cousins $27, $28 million a year and pay three defensive linemen over $15 million a year.
Right.
And
then
a
year
couple
or two,
safeties at $7 million a year.
Let me just clarify. You could for 2018, but then you'd have to make adjustments in 2019 and 2020.
And the adjustments you make then might be so debilitating because you take all the money in 1 year.
Exactly.
So I don't think you can't. And Jeff's right. You might be able to manipulate it and say we're going all in 1 year. Fine.
How many times does that work, by the way?
So I wouldn't do it for that reason because I think it changes who you are as a team. Secondly, tell me the last time Kirk Cousins took a team to the playoffs.
Let me ask you this. No, hold on.
Didn't they go in 15?
Hold on.
Didn't they go in 15? That was his best season. I know that.
I don't think he
would. Maybe not.
Go look. If they – go ahead.
Hasn't.
Yeah, I don't think he has.
He hasn't. But let me ask you this question.
The last time they went to the Super Bowl was with Robert Griffin as the starting quarterback.
He has not. He has not. Okay. Now let me ask you this: if the money were the same, what would you do?
I'd take Kirk Cousins.
That's the point
I was making. But that's what you can't look at. You have to look at is your total team.
No, I know that. But I mean, when you ask me the question,
I know you. I was setting you up. Don't be wrong. I was.
You totally set me up.
Complete setup.
Because the answer is different. I mean, if the money's the same, yes, that's the answer. Would be Kirk Cousins. But if you're factoring in what the money would be,
which
the right answer is you stay the course with Blake Bortles and then you draft a guy.
Skins went to the playoffs in 15, lost in the wild card round to the Packers.
And who was the quarterback in 15?
Kirk Cousins.
So he's one time he lost.
Yeah. He doesn't have a win in the postseason.
Correct.
But he
is a 65.5% passer in his career.
And I'm not saying Kirk Cousins. Kirk Cousins is.
You know what I don't like about him? Where's the loyalty? You know what I mean?
Well, they throw money at him. They never really wanted to pay him, and they never gave him a good deal because by the way, they're not convinced he's the franchise quarterback either.
And if they were, he would be there.
And he would be. That's the other thing.
They don't get away.
I said maybe Kirk Cousins is like Drew Brees. Because remember Drew Brees at San Diego? They let him go, and they decided to go with Philip Rivers. And he had some nice years at San Diego.
It was awesome.
And they decided that he wasn't the guy to get there. And he went to New Orleans.
Here's the funny thing. How many teams were vying for his services? Because remember, there was a shoulder question
when it came
to him, which was part of the deal.
There was two. And he went to New Orleans, and he became the Drew Brees we know of now. So maybe Kirk Cousins goes to – I don't consider Kirk Cousins elite. When you say Kirk Cousins, I don't say that's an elite quarterback.
No, but he's pretty good.
I think he's good. He's not Jimmy Garoppolo.
he's got more of a track record, you know. So
I mean, that's just now. Do I think he's?
Do we know Jimmy Garoppolo is that great yet?
Jeff knows
pretty good.
This. I've been on him since training camp. I said I think he's a star.
He's been really good.
Okay, that's me.
Undefeated, by the way.
And I'm not saying that. True. I'm not saying Kirk Cousins.
Five games.
I'm not saying six.
More than
excuse
that.
Me. Yeah. I'm not saying Kirk Cousins isn't going to be great. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying I wouldn't invest that much money as the Jaguars because I think it changes too many things. That's just me. Now, what I would do is if Drew Brees came in free agent, I would mortgage everything for a 2-year period and say, here's I think we can
go about back. $70 million guaranteed.
That's different.
I think we can go back to back.
That's different.
Because I look at Kirk Cousins, and I was wrong. He did take a team to the playoffs. But has he made the? Is he a type of player that makes people better around him? The people around him better? Has he raised the play?
Because that's what elite quarterbacks can do.
When
players are hurt or down or not playing well, can elevate the whole offense.
And how much better is he really than Blake Bortles? Tell me that. Because the other thing I look at is, tell me the talent Blake Bortles played with at the skill positions this year. He was thrown to. Did he have a number one wide receiver?
No. Had a bunch of rookies.
Did he have a pass-catching tight end?
No, not consistently.
Well, Mercedes, I mean, his percentage of touchdowns.
Ben Koyak had a touchdown in the playoffs.
But you know, I'm not being disparaging.
We're joking, obviously.
I'm not being disparaging to the young receivers or Mercedes, but let's just call it what it is.
Well, and even if you factor in, I mean, a couple years ago when A-Rob had the big numbers, I mean, even A-Rob at that point wasn't a number one.
So I think Blake does, and I said this in Radio Row, Blake Bortles, I'm not saying he's elite, but here's what I know about Blake. He's durable. He's
tough.
He's tough. Mm-hmm. He has not played with a lot of talent around him at the skill positions. Now, maybe that's his fault. Maybe he's not making him better. He has not had the same system in back-to-back years. He hasn't had consistency offensively. I mean, there's a lot of things that have been gone against him. Now, this is the same guy who said at training camp I would get rid of him because I thought he was done.
Oh, he was pretty rough.
So, but what I've seen him progress this year and what he was able to do,
but let me add
I
this.
Think I would bring him back because I think he can get better, but I'd still draft somebody.
The most
now,
impressive
if they decide,
thing.
Now, Jeff's right, though. Now, if they were to decide to go get into Kirk Cousins sweepstakes, they're better for at least next year.
Yeah.
Because right now, if I was going apples to apples, comparing them, and gun to the head, as much as I love Blake, I'd be forced to say right now Kirk Cousins is a better quarterback.
And that's kind of the point.
Hold on one second here. I just want to add this in here. The one strength or attribute I think shouldn't be overlooked and is probably the thing that has impressed me the most about Blake Bortles is how he's handled himself every year since he's been the starting quarterback. As far as the professionalism the way he's handled himself, the criticism that he had this year, and how he didn't faze him whatsoever. I mean that's a very mature way about a quarterback that could have very easily responded in negative ways. And for me, I have a lot of respect for Blake Bortles, how he handled himself this year with all of that crap that was going on, and also how he handled himself because of a lot of the doubt that was about him at the beginning of the year because, you know what, he wasn't very good in the preseason. But, you know, he kept working, you know. So I give him a lot of credit for that because and I think mentally we say he's tough, and most people take that
mentally tough.
Physically. But he's so mentally tough also, and you got to give him credit for that because that is a rare attribute. And I guarantee that's not a characteristic that I would assign to a lot of other quarterbacks in the league.
And if you do get the Kirk Cousins, now you are married to him for the next 4 years. At least three.
Maybe more.
I mean, that's your guy. And so when you make that decision, you better know he is the guy. And the team that he's on didn't think he was the guy because they would have paid him.
That's right. Good point.
His former GM, Scott McLuhan, who had no skin in the game, and I know Scott, and is one of the best football guys around, said he's not elite.
Now, how about his coach, who's a – offensive coordinator, offensive mind, you know, at the end of the year, he came out and the comments that he made about the quarterback situation going forward, he basically said that we need to get it solved. We need to have multiple years and was not very complimentary quarterback.
And I've heard from coaches that have been around him, not elite. So I'm just –
He's going to get paid like he's elite.
Somebody's going to pay him.
He's going to get paid.
And listen, he might end up – because I don't think anyone thought Drew Brees was elite.
Who should sign him?
Who's got the most money?
Well, Denver will mortgage everything to do it.
Arizona?
Yeah, but there's one team that has
Cleveland has so much money.
I mean, they've got a ton of cap room, but I think Cleveland's got, and there's one other team that has a ton of cap room. So,
and I don't know, maybe, and Jeff might be right, maybe we have enough cap room where we can manage it for 2 or 3 years. But, I mean, at some point, you can't pay everybody.
Nope.
You can't, I mean.
That's why you have to draft well, because that is right. Your cheap labor. That enables you to pay certain guys $60, $70, $80 million contracts because you've got the cheap labor here that's on the rookie wage scale.
I mean, it'll be interesting to me. Do they bring all three interior defensive linemen back at 15 plus million?
Great question.
And both safeties are making 7 plus.
That's a pretty good defense.
Not quite that much, but they're both.
Barry Church is making 7 if you look at his on average.
He's not 7.
Well, I'm going to challenge you. I want to go look at their deals. Okay. I thought.
We'll take a look
at it
during the timeout.
I'm not trying to cut anybody. I'd like them all come back.
But at the point is,
I'm just talking. There's a cap you got to deal with.
But the window is open now for this football team to go win a lot of football games because you have the defense intact. You got some pieces in offense you might like. You got to start making a run again at some point. The window is open now. We'll return with a look at some of those pieces on offense. We'll check the salary for Barry Church. PRI Productions, the official event production company of the Jags, has everything you need to bring your next idea to life. Visit PRIProductions.com. It's Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiahAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday continues right now.
We continue. JP Shadrick, Jeff Ogman, Tony Maselli, Jaguars Thursday. We've got a month and a week to discuss the quarterback situation. League year begins March 14th at 4 o'clock Eastern Time, New York time. And there's a two-day negotiating period before that. Yes.
So could they negotiate with Cousins before they
With Cousins' agent, yes.
So they could actually play it both ways and try to negotiate and see if they get a deal done with Cousins.
How about this?
But the question is, the question with Blake is he going to be able to pass the physical on the first day of the year league?
How about this? If you negotiate and you get a deal that's favorable, you think, then 5 minutes before, do you send Blake out, and then you don't have a quarterback for 10 minutes until you sign him after the league year starts?
It's not going to happen. Why are you wasting your energy talking about it?
Well, I think I don't think it's going to happen either, Jeff, but the one interesting thing is, you think it's going to happen?
No, I agree. I'm with you guys.
I don't think it's going to happen. Right when I heard that he had wrist surgery, the first thing I thought is he going to even be able to pass the physical on the first day of the league year? Because if he can't, his money's guaranteed.
You're talking about something that's just,
how severe is his wrist?
Here's the other thing, JP. You're talking like, okay, well, there's going to be time. They can talk to Kirk Cousins. And
everyone else can be talking,
and they can figure out, okay, maybe they can sign Kirk and then let Blake go during that time. No. I mean, there's 10 teams that are going to be wanting to talk to Kirk Cousins. You think Kirk Cousins is going to get in the talks to allow the Jaguars to make a decision in a couple days?
I actually make
a decision on Blake?
Yeah, I actually do think
so. No way.
But here's why, Jeff. If they wanted to, I don't think they're going to. And I wouldn't. I've already said what I would do. But if they wanted to, this would be one of the most – Kirk Cousins has come out and said, I want to go somewhere where I can win and have a chance to win a championship. So if you're Kirk Cousins and looking at your opportunities and you look at the people, the Vikings are reported to possibly get in on it, the Broncos, the Browns, the Jaguars. I mean, these are the reports. I don't think the Jags are doing it.
No.
But let's just say those four teams. Or the Jets. That's the other team, the Jets. So let's say those five teams. If you're Kirk Cousins, there's two, in my opinion, that give you the best chance, and a third that's close. The Jags or the Vikings, and the Broncos would be close.
Yeah.
But the Broncos do have major cap issues, and Tlaib, they're going to have to let guys go. Mm-hmm. But the Vikings and the Jaguars cap room to do it.
Okay, do you think Kirk Cousins is sitting there going, all these teams here, yeah. Okay, I got a great chance to win there. You know what he's doing?
He's looking at the money.
I don't think so.
He's looking at the money.
Jeff, I think it's going to be so much money. I think if it comes down to, let me say this, the Jags are offering me $26 million a year with 90 guaranteed, and the Browns are offering me $28 million a year.
Off to the Browns he goes.
With $100 million? No way.
Yep. Off to the Browns he goes.
Because he's not going to win at the Browns, and he could come to the Jaguars and have a chance to win a Super Bowl.
Why do you think he would not win at the Browns? Maybe he believes that he's going to take them and lead them to victory.
He plays.
I'm just saying, hey, why not?
If and by the way, the other
confident player,
the other reason is the state no state income tax, and with the fact that under the new tax plan, you can't write your state income tax off, he'd make it up in Jacksonville over any other place.
Well, you never know.
What do you mean you never know? You know
money.
You
study you did it yourself.
Well, you're talking about from an economic standpoint, yes. I mean, if the money's equal, but I'm just saying.
No, I'm not saying the money's equal. The tax break makes the money equal.
He ain't going here. He's going to Cleveland. He's going to go where the money is because this team won't offer him that kind of money.
I don't think they will either. So I'm talking – will he not do a dang radio show in the offseason? We're doing hypotheticals
right
now.
I mean, this is going to be a long offseason.
I mean, holy cow, I quit now, by the way. I quit the show.
It's over.
Right now.
See ya.
You promise?
The Jeff Loggeman show begins next week.
Yeah. By himself, talking about nothing.
Hey, I'm just saying is that look, it's a.
I don't think it's going to happen either. But I'm saying if you're Kirk Cousins, I do believe. First of all, he's made $670 million or $60 million over the last 3 years, whatever he's made.
All right, can we take a break on the Kirk Cousins talk for just a minute?
I didn't bring it up
because you know here's.
I don't think we're going to sign him. I'm just saying it's interesting if you're looking at teams. I'll say this: I thought it was interesting that.
What would you do? Tony Boselli, general manager.
I told you I'd do. I'd sign Blake Bortles and go. I'd keep Blake and go draft a kid in the first round.
Okay.
I've already said that. I'm just making radio talk to talk about.
JP, what would you do?
I mean,
sounds good.
And JP, with this situation, what would you do?
I mean, I'm starting the conversation so people listening, they can have a couple sides.
Maybe not a first round quarterback.
JP, I want to know what you would do.
Yeah,
okay, what would you do with the situation?
Well, the situation, you keep the quarterback for his fifth year. If he's playing well enough, then maybe you can extend him. And I don't think a first-round quarterback is necessary, but somebody in an early round, because you do have other needs that need to play right away, too, from the draft. So, that's what I would do. Why not? It's a conservative way to go about it.
You would draft a quarterback high. Where would you draft a quarterback then?
I don't know. I mean, because you're
the GM.
You're the GM. What do you mean?
Second, third round. You have other needs that need to start in the first round.
Okay, if you're going to be a general manager, you got to be decisive.
Here's the thing. Let me ask you this. You're sitting the first round. I've already said I'm picking a quarterback.
Okay.
And you have a first round value quarterback on the board, and you have a first round of another position of need on the board. Whatever. I don't even know what position of need you're talking about.
Tight end.
Who are you picking?
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, you always pick the quarterback, right?
Every time.
Yeah.
Every time. I mean,
yeah, that's a good point.
Every time.
I'm a bad GM.
Yeah.
All right, so let me ask you guys this.
I'm just going to stick to reading cards.
So you do the same thing I would do, right?
Yes, absolutely. But let me ask you guys this. Would you bring in – okay, you're going to draft a guy. Would you bring in a veteran guy that could compete also? Not only to maybe –
I'll give you a name. Would you bring Sam Bradford in?
Mm.
He's going to be out there.
Ooh.
Or Teddy Bridgewater, either one?
I don't think they're going to let him.
I'm just saying.
I think most likely it's going to be Sam Bradford. That's a real issue.
For backup money?
Would you bring him in for backup money?
Absolutely.
It'd be heavy backup money. You're going to pay him $6 or $7 backup
money.
That's
okay. Money. That's what it is.
I think that's what Nick Foles got this year. $7 million or something like that, or $6 million.
Well, yeah, he's like $7 million next year.
Is Foles standing in Philly?
They might try to trade him.
He's under contract, JP.
Thank you. I understand that.
Yeah.
They might try to trade him, but I don't think so. I mean, Carson Wentz coming off with a knee injury, knee injury.
He just won a Super Bowl. Yeah, he's not going anywhere.
I don't think so either.
They're going to extend his contract.
I wouldn't
They're
trade him.
Keep him.
What I would probably do, I wouldn't extend his contract either. I keep him under contract.
Why not?
Because I don't want to.
Well, you're not paying Carson Wentz yet.
I know, but I don't have to pay anybody yet. He'd be my guy backup. And if Carson Wentz is fine mid-season before the trade deadline, and I could trade him for a first rounder or a second rounder to another team, then I would trade him.
Hmm.
I'm not going to trade him right now because my quarterbacks haven't, I was on
he's
the field.
Still in rehab, right.
Well, he's walking with a straight leg still. I mean, he's not very far out of surgery, a major ACL, knee surgery. But I will go back. My whole point of the Kirk Cousins conversation is because I thought it was interesting the other day one of the sports books put out the odds of who can make the Super Bowl next year. And the Jaguars were pretty far down there. I believe the Texans were actually in front of them, if I remember the odds right. The Jaguars were 28-1. which is shocking to me. If you look at the AFC, now it's a much harder road because Deshaun Watson's going to be back and everything else. But if you look at this team, I'm not saying they're the favorite in the AFC to win the Super Bowl. I don't think it carries over like that. But a young defense that's not – I mean, you can bring the entire defense back, and the argument people make, well, no one got hurt this year. People are going to get hurt next year. Well, you don't know that.
Well, and another thing is that maybe you got better depth this year.
That's right.
To handle injuries.
And so I was shocked at that. And because I think if Kirk Cousins is evaluating, and I go back to, I don't think this would happen if the Jags were in it, and Kirk Cousins was evaluating, and part of his evaluation is I want to go to a place where I can win a Super Bowl. I think the Jacksonville Jaguars are very high at the top of that list, which is different than what the sports books of Vegas would say right now. Just interesting.
When we return, I'll look around the national.
Oh, we're not going football. To any other situation.
What situation do you want to go to?
We've already established that he's a terrible GM, so let's just end
this. Shocking, I know. Experience Everbank Field in an entirely new way on a fully guided behind-the-scenes private tour. Visit Jaguars.com for more information. A look around the league when we return. It's Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiahAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday continues right now.
Check out Jack Hanania's Audi Jacksonville on Blanding. You can lease a beautiful new A3 from just $229 a month. Head over today for details. Jaguars Thursday, JP Shadrick, Tony Vaselli, Jeff Lagerman. Let's just go around the National Football League. And from yesterday, Josh McDaniels was the Colts head coach, but he didn't sign the contract, and he backed out. He's staying in New England. And the assistants that were hired are staying in Indianapolis.
Well, I think that the way he handled that was very poor.
And, you think?
I mean, yeah, when you've got guys that were hired anticipating that he was going to be the head coach and a lot of assistants that were lining up their careers, you know, assuming he was going to take the job, which, you know, he said he was going to take the job. You know, he impacted a lot of coaches, and I think Tony Dungy made some commentary about how poorly that he handled that, and Tony Dungy is right. I will say this, though. There's a lot of – one of the main reasons, I think, probably why there was hesitation and why the Josh McDaniels backed out in that situation, the ownership situation in Indianapolis is just not very good. I mean, to be pretty honest about it, Jim Irsay – is an owner that what's the right words? He has issues. Okay, he's had past issues, and I think those issues probably aren't all gone. And I think it has affected his ability to be a strong owner. And I kind of leave it at that. But I mean, some of his past issues are very clear. With drugs being involved, and so I think that probably had a little bit to do with it. I don't think that the promise or, you know, from the Patriots that he would be the heir apparent to Bill Belichick had anything to do with it. I just think he saw the situation, you know, with ownership and then maybe even something to do with Andrew Luck and his health and at the last second said, you know, I can't do it. So.
The story is he went back to New England to clean out his office, and that's when the owner and the Belichick. What are you doing with your phone over there?
I was looking at Instagram. It was a Jaguar post on Instagram of Jalen Ramsey dunking, and I was trying to turn it off, and the sound kept on coming on. I couldn't.
What are you, 15 years old?
Hey, Joe, don't shake your head at me because several times over there you mess up everything, and crazy stuff is coming through.
BS.
Shut up. Sorry,
but anyway, that's what it is. If he's cleaning his office out, it doesn't matter. I mean, how he handled it is poor.
It's awful.
But look, if it's a great situation,
he's not
backing out.
It's embarrassing.
No, it's a shame.
He handled it.
What else you got?
The GM and Andy did a good job in the press conference yesterday, by the way, of just dealing with the whole thing. You know,
what do you do? He said that. The rivalry's back
that
on.
Was, so come on.
They've lost seven in a row to these guys.
I don't think the Patriots really care about you, by the way. No. And by the way, your last place schedule isn't going to play them, so don't worry about it. Well, I guess next year they do because
they go to New England.
We play the East next year, don't we?
That's right. So they go to New England next year.
New England comes here, and they don't want any piece of Duval.
They, no.
the bank.
Payback coming soon. The Eagles held their championship parade and celebration today. Millions along the route there, ending at the Philadelphia Museum of Art. Jason Kelce had the airing of the grievances with the haters on the Eagles all year at the end. If you haven't seen it, you got to check it out. It is.
Yeah, I haven't seen it, so.
I haven't either, but.
Heard about it. Heard it was pretty good.
Can we make sure we give. We let all our younger fans know and parents that.
Yeah.
Probably shouldn't watch it.
Language is not very good. You know, probably could have done
work.
A better job.
And
of,
I'm sorry that JP sold it as awesome.
It is awesome, though.
Well, with language.
It's pretty awesome.
I mean, he could have been really good if he didn't use the curse words, though. I mean,
no, it was really good. It was really, really good. Jimmy Garoppolo.
He's not getting the hint, Jeff.
We've mentioned it. 5 years, $137.5 million. That half million is the one that put it over the top, maybe. Largest contract in league history for any position. $90 million guaranteed for Garoppolo.
Yeah, that's good money. Good money.
And, he had all the leverage.
State of California is going, yeah, we can't wait to get some of that. How much money do you think they're going to get out of that?
You know, what I would do?
What is state tax out there? 10%?
The top end is like 12 or 13.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Is it really?
Yeah. You can't, that maybe 12, I think. I think if I was Jimmy Garoppolo.
California's getting like 8 or 9 guaranteed out of that. Million.
You know, know what I would do? I would, if I was Jimmy Garoppolo, I'd go buy a house in Tahoe, in Nevada, and I'd buy a helicopter. And I'd fly my butt to work every day, living in Nevada where there's no state income tax.
Yeah, but you still got to pay.
You work in California.
You still got to pay.
You know how this works,
no,
Tony?
You're not going to avoid.
Nope. You only have to pay when you play there. So half the games you don't pay.
No, because you work there. It's just duty days, and you practice in California, and you play
in
California.
I would say, listen, boy, tax evader over here.
I would say, I will not practice in California. I'll be practicing in Tahoe. So it'd be cheaper for him.
Personal trainers.
It'd be cheaper for him to. Buy a practice field and fly everybody to.
And then all the money you're supposedly going to be saving will be eat up in legal fees to keep your butt out of jail.
Probably.
Yeah.
That's correct.
From the
IRS.
Isn't
that ridiculous? And you can't write that. Hey. And you can't write that off against your federal income tax.
Not anymore. No. The crazy news about money is, I don't know if Tony saw this, we were talking about Adrian Peterson.
Yeah, he ordered to pay back about $600,000. He defaulted on a loan from a suburban.
Here's the key. He defaulted on a loan. Okay, that was the interest that he's got to pay back. Okay, that's $600,000 in interest. The loan was for like $2.4 million. Okay, my question is this. What is he doing taking a loan out for $2.4 million?
He restructured a bunch of debts he had at a lower interest rate.
Here's the same question. Why does he have debt?
I don't know.
He's made millions.
No, my point is, the interesting thing about that is
dummy.
He just stopped paying it. And then he didn't even contest the lawsuit.
Because he's got no argument.
No, but usually,
he signed his name on the dotted line.
No, but usually,
I'm going to pay this back, Jeff, and I'm going to pay back with 7.5% interest. And now he's got to pay the 7.5% interest and the $30,000 in legal fees that the people had to.
I know, but you do understand.
I don't understand
No, I understand. But you understand that all the time people contest things even though they owe them? And they at least try to fight it, or maybe
no. Yeah,
he was just like, yeah,
fact,
you're right.
He didn't even show up. He
no,
just said,
here's the check.
He stopped paying however long ago. Didn't answer any of the requests for money.
No.
And then when they sued him, he just didn't show up.
You're right. I'm not going to argue it.
I mean, it's crazy
because he was in the wrong.
Finally,
and here's the key. He's been insane talking about how he wants to play 4 more years. Here's the thing. He wants to play 4 more years because he needs to play 4 more years, so he's got some money in the bank, obviously. Period.
Apparently so. Speaking of money, could Rob Gronkowski be headed to Hollywood?
I can see him being the next Mongo.
They're reporting from the Eagle Tribune in Lawrence, Massachusetts, reporting
right?
that The Rock and Sylvester Stallone have urged Gronk to try his hand in the movie business.
Yeah, here's the thing. The movie business will be there for Gronk. Whether he plays 1 more year, no more years, or 5 more years. Gronk will be back playing football next year because even if he went to the movie business, there's nothing he can do in his life that's going to pay him what football plays. Unless he becomes The Rock, which, by the way, The Rock is a good actor. So I don't know.
Yeah, he's pretty good.
There's no guarantees you're going to be The Rock just because you're a big meathead. I love Gronk. He's funny. He's fun to watch.
He
is an amazing football player.
Greatest former NFL player that made it in Hollywood.
OJ.
No, not OJ.
No.
Merlin Olsen.
Merlin was pretty good now.
Little House on the
Little
Prairie.
House on the Prairie.
Father, what's the father or something?
How about Jack Youngblood?
That was a little young. No.
Hey, who's Fred Dreyer?
Fred Dreyer?
Fred Dreyer was really good now.
All right, guys. We'll see you next week.
Oh, we're done?
We're done.
We're done.
All right. Hollywood, Joe Fortunato, Tony.
Great job, Max. Not so much
it's
you,
Jaguars Joe. Thursday, Jaguars Radio.